Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life expired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Welcome to another edition of the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, episode 69, here with the one and only Short Sleeve Sampson. How you doing, brother?
What's going on? I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day here in Puyallup, Washington. Where are you at today?
Oh, I am home in Syracuse, New York. So we got some coast to coast going on here.
Okay, yes, nice. Okay, time for the first-timer question. What got you involved with the crazy world of professional wrestling?
I think I was on drugs. No, I'm just joking. let me tell you, I mean, seriously, I what can you not like about professional wrestling? I mean, in all honesty, I know from my earliest childhood memories, you know, I was a huge fan of it. And, you know, sit down and watch it with my family as a child and go to some live events and, you know, and all that. And then basically when I got to be, 24 years old, I had gotten a phone call asking me if I, you know, would be interested in doing professional wrestling on an independent level. And, you know, never been trained or anything like that. You know, basically I said, yeah, sure, let's give this thing a shot and see what happens. And so I did it. And after two shows, I got a call from WWF asking me if I was interested in doing a segment the following night for Monday Night Raw. And once I realized that the call was legit and was not somebody pulling a prank on me, found myself the following night down in New Jersey, at that time the Continental Airlines Arena, and I was on Monday Night Raw. So I kind of got into the business a little bit backwards, but at the same time, it's been moving forward ever since.
My goodness, what a journey! And then to have no training, no professional wrestling training, you said. So in your first couple matches, the guys just led you along, basically.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they totally had to leave me. Like I said, I had no training. And it wasn't until, after I had, done the two matches and then, like I said, did the segment on with WWF that I finally decided to get trained because, one, I wanted to know what I was going to do in the ring. I wanted to learn how to do the different, moves and maneuvers and everything like that. And I found a really good school back in my home state of Rhode Island at the time. And, I basically trained for the next 3 years.
And who was that under?
It was under two teachers, Anthony Rufo and Kyle White. Anthony Rufo is unfortunately no longer with us. Kyle White is, but he's not, you know, teaching anymore. He hasn't taught in several years, but they definitely gave me some good foundation, good grounding, and you know, learned how to do things the right way.
Nice. And then, man, what a blessing to get called up to WWE right away. Basically, how'd that go?
Let me tell you, it was crazy. You know, like I said, I mean, when I first got the phone call, I thought it was just somebody, you know, pulling a prank on me. I didn't think it was real. And, you know, when I learned it was real and everything, and found myself, actually, on the last day, I had asked the person who called me. I said, you know, what do I need? What do I need to bring? Because I really didn't have anything. You know, I just got into the business. And they said, just wear a suit. That's all you got to do. Just wear a suit. And, you know, I wore a suit, and then it was announced that night, because this was 2 weeks before WrestleMania for that year. And basically it was announced that myself and this other guy named Tiny the Terrible, that we would be competing at WrestleMania against The Rock. That's what was announced. And at the time, in the middle of the ring at the for that night was Triple H and The Big Show and Shane and Stephanie McMahon, and they had a huge storyline going on against The Rock, and Triple H was making all of these crazy matches that The Rock would have to do because, you know, Triple H had the strap and The Rock was chasing for it, and basically they were making all these bizarre matches and, you know, basically doing all these crazy things so that this way The Rock would not be able to catch Triple H. And so it was announced, you know, that we were going to be The Rock's opponent. And needless to say, it was literally just a one-night storyline. And that, you know, 2 weeks later, you did see the Triple H versus The Rock at WrestleMania, which was great. But, you know, it is what it is. You know what I mean? It was a great time. It was a great night and great payday.
For sure. And then you've done a lot of different aspects of the wrestling business, like with your midget wrestling warriors and stuff like that. How many different aspects have you done in the business?
I've done a lot. I mean, seriously, I've done a lot. I mean, I've just to start off, I mean, I've been involved in WWF and WWE on and off, God, for 15 plus years, you know, and I know I had also done some things with TNA. I also, you know, worked with micro wrestling and Hulk Hogan's micro championship wrestling and all the different, you know, midget promotions. I worked with Ring of Honor, you know, and so basically what happened was back in 2013, I had announced that I was going to be retiring from the business, and I was going to do a 40 more shows, just to basically go around and thank everybody and to thank the fans and thank the promoters and everything. And towards the end of that tour, I had a choice. I could either leave or I could start my own promotion. And so I figured, let me give my own promotion a shot. And you know, next year we'll be going 10 years strong. So, you know, it's definitely been a whirlwind of a ride, but it's been a phenomenal ride.
Very cool. And you normally go out as Short Sleeve Samson, but what other characters have you worked?
So for everything that I've done with myself, I have done Short Sleeve Samson. The only other characters that I have done was when I worked for, you know, WWF, WWE, as well as TNA. And I did characters like the Mini Undertaker, Mini Kurt Angle, Mini Spirit Squad. I also did, you know, my own character, Short Sleeve Samson, on both WWE as well as TNA. I did miniature Chris Sabin. I did, God, I'm trying to remember them all. I mean, I had done Hornswoggle's attorney. I mean, so the characters have been very vast.
Wow, okay, nice. And then in your lifetime, what have been some of the most memorable matches that you've seen? That includes VHS tape, internet, or live?
That I've seen? Honestly, I think for me personally, the most memorable match that I have seen was WrestleMania 3, where we saw Randy Macho Man Savage versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. That was basically a phenomenal match. I had you can learn a lot from it. It was enjoyable as a fan. It was great to watch it as a worker, and something I can basically reflect on. And, you know, and then years later, I actually had done a training seminar camp with Ricky Steamboat and everything, and he talked about that and all. But that was probably, in all honesty, even today, probably one of the matches that sticks with me the most.
Absolutely, yes. And I was blessed to see that feud in the Tacoma Dome, Savage and Steamboat. So yes, that was a barn burner for sure.
Yeah, it was. It was phenomenal. I mean, you know, it had great, great psychology from a worker perspective. You could learn a lot from it, and even as well as how they finished the match was completely different. Because neither one of them hit the finish. Basically, it was a roll-up, you know, and it was good. It was honestly good from beginning to end.
For sure, yes. Okay, and then we're excited to hear about your most memorable matches that you've had.
Oh, my goodness. I've had so many. I've been blessed. It's like even just to let's just go through some of the workers I've worked within my promotion as well as other promotions. I mean, Rob the Giant, phenomenal worker, phenomenal matches. Prince Akeem, I'm just trying to go through some of these here. Early days, Todd Stone, you know. But then at the same time, I had great matches even in the Fed where, you know, I had the opportunity to work with people like The Undertaker and John Cena and Kurt Angle. Triple H, and those guys as well. So, whether it's been, on an independent level or whether it's been in the professional level, I've had a diverse roster that I've had the opportunity to work with, and I'm definitely blessed because of that.
Yes, for sure. Okay, and then now this next segment is called Heroes. Who were your heroes growing up? That includes ordinary life, sports, music, and wrestling.
All right, so ordinary life, I mean, let's be honest, I think for that my heroes would be my parents, because they did a phenomenal job, raising me. Basically, they didn't let me cut any corners, and they didn't, allow me to take any shortcuts in life. They wanted me to work for everything that I have and for the things that I wanted. And I definitely appreciate that and stuff. I was very, very blessed to have two phenomenal parents, in sports world and everything like that. I would say people like Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, Randy Savage, and Shawn Michaels, those are people that, I had basically had looked up to or had studied or had watched and focused on and wanted to emulate and, would take different parts of things that they have done within, their own careers and would try to adopt those, to my career and everything.
Okay, right on. And then who are your favorite people to work with in your career?
Well, I think I covered that already, but, honestly, I mean, let's just talk about the Midget Wrestling Warriors, my promotion now. We have a phenomenal promotion, and we have phenomenal talent, and I've had a chance to work with, you know, whether it's in the ring or, you know, work with them within my promotion, you know, for the last 9+ years. People, again, like I said, like, you know, Rob the Giant, Demas, Pontro Romano, the females like Zoe Sky, you know, Kikyo, Diosa Quetzal, you know, and I know I'm forgetting names and everything like that and stuff like that, but, you know, it's like every person I had a chance to work with, whether it was directly or indirectly, the one thing that I have that I value is the fact that I was able to take something from each and every one of them, whether it was, you know, having a match and, you know, how we put the matches together and, you know, and the psychology behind it and, you know, what we did, or whether it was just being able to, you know, oversee their match and, you know, add some critiques or criticisms or, you know, give some direction or to watch their styles and everything. So, you know, that's the one thing that I have definitely learned and I have enjoyed doing, especially, you know, like I said, the last, you know, over 9 years that I've done it for.
Nice. And then let's see. Did you play sports in high school or growing up?
I played baseball. I played baseball in high school. I played it for 2 years, and I actually played, I think it was second base, you know. And, you know, I did all right. It wasn't, you know, I wasn't a superstar. But at the same time, I also wasn't a bench warmer, you know. But I did all right, you know. As far as anything else, I just played recreational sports like, you know, basketball or, you know, football and or handball and, you know, different things like that. But, you know, like I said, for anything that was organized, any type of organized sports, it was definitely baseball. At the same time, I was also involved in theater and drama and everything. And so I would basically, you know, adopt a lot of things that I had learned from them and from those careers and transition that even now into, you know, into my career or to everyday life or whatever like that. The nice thing about it is that everything that we do in life is a learning experience. And whether it's something that we, I mean, heck, even just driving to the store, there's things that we can learn, you know, and things that we can, you know, adopt, whether it's, you know, talking to, you know, a person who works at the store, or whether it's, you know, socializing with a customer while you're in line, or, you know, whatever. So that's the one thing I've done. I've definitely have adopted those things into my life today.
Nice. Okay. And then besides pro wrestling, what else do you have for self-defense background?
Basically, I mean, again, you know, early ages of my childhood and stuff like that, I took karate, you know, so I have some of that as well and everything. And, you know, as well as I actually have, I think it's like 4 or 5 years of dance and everything. So I've definitely been very active, you know, in what I have done and the things I have learned. And, you know, so it's been good. It's been real, real good.
Okay. And let's see, what suggestions do you have for people wanting to get into the business?
Don't do it. Don't. No, I mean, seriously, and that's, it's a great question because I get asked this all the time, you know, and I would tell anybody who wants to get into this business, whether it's for hobby or they want to try to make a career and go at it, do it the right way. You know, first is to find a good wrestling school and to get and find, you know, someone who can train you and that you can get trained by. And not just, you know, trying to grab a Joe Schmo who basically opened up a wrestling school and, you know, is charging people, you know, money to go to their school, but has never done anything in the business. Find somebody who has done things in the business. Find somebody who has gone somewhere, who has, you know, whether it's been, you know, for WWE or, you know, one of the other feds or someone who has made it, you know, in the business on a full-time level. because I think you'll gain a lot more wisdom and a lot more knowledge from, you know, those type of people versus just some, you know, somebody who basically opened up a wrestling school and has no intellect in the business whatsoever. You know, so that would be my first suggestion. And then after that, it would be to, you know, to network yourself, which means that people have to talk to people, not just text people. And, you know, to go to wrestling shows and to, you know, talk with the local promoter if you can, or talk with workers and to, you know, try to get on some shows and everything. Because I feel that that whole art of just communication is lost, especially in today's society. And so to get back to those grassroots and to do things like that, that's, you know, where I would challenge people to do.
Nice. Okay. And let's see, what schools would you suggest for people?
Oh my goodness. I honestly, there's some good schools all over the place. I mean, I know you have a school and stuff like that up in Washington State. But, you know, I would basically, and I travel all over the place. So with, you know, with all that, it's like every state that I go to, there are some good schools. And it's hard to, you know, to even name all of them or a few of them. But to go to a school where, like I said, where the people who are running the school, the people that are doing the training have done something. And do more than just a you know, a 3-week trial period or a 90-day trial period. I mean, like I said, I was literally training at a wrestling school for over 3 years, you know. Granted, I was, you know, getting, you know, bookings and everything like that at the time, but I was still training. And, I mean, I would go to school up to four times a week, you know. I mean, there was times that I would go to the wrestling school, you know, an hour, 2 hours before the first person would get there. And I was just trying to perfect the craft. I mean, trying to learn the footwork and trying to, you know, whether it was, you know, running the ropes or you know, practicing taking bumps or, you know, wrestling a broomstick. But to do those things so this way I can make myself better. And I would encourage anyone who, you know, again, wanted to get into this business to do that as well.
Definitely. And then this next segment is called Favorites. What's your favorite coffee to drink?
Maxwell House.
Okay.
I just like regular coffee. I am not fancy schmancy. I just like a regular cup of coffee with some vanilla creamer. That's all. You know what I mean? It's like I can't do these frappuccinos or vanilla chinos or mochaccinos or whatever, you know, type of foo-foo drink that people drink these days. I just like a good cup of coffee.
Yes, for sure. Okay, what's your favorite concerts that you've seen?
Oh, my goodness. Conference or concert?
Concerts.
Oh, concerts. Again, I've seen so many of them because of the fact that you know, again, with the business I'm in and the industry I'm in, as well as, you know, I've done stuff on, you know, an acting level and everything like that. I mean, I've had a chance to see people like Aerosmith and Five Finger Death Punch and Motley Crue and, you know, God, I mean, so many. It's wow. I'm trying to think. I honestly don't know. I don't know as far
know.
As my favorite.
That is a
you know, because,
hard question.
Yeah. It's a loaded question, you know, because again, I feel that again, if you go into a concert, there people are there to entertain the fans. And not just to sing their songs that they, you know, came up with or to sing other people's material or anything like that, but they're there to entertain the fans. And that's the one thing that I always look for in, you know, anything I do is that what you know, what is this person doing to entertain me? What is this person doing to entertain the fans? You know, how are they breaking out of their bubble? How are they, you know, interjecting or interacting with folks and to people and stuff like that? And, you know, again, that's just what I look for. It's like, it's crazy because I've gone to some concerts and all they've done is sing their material. And they sang well, but that's all they've done. And I've been to other ones like, you know, like Rob Zombie and everything. He puts on phenomenal concerts.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and everything. And it's like, again, he's not someone that I would, you know, necessarily go to, but I remember I was there at Sturgis, you know, a few years ago. And, you know, he was one of the acts that came out. And absolutely phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And it was more than just a concert. It was a show. And there was, you know, lighting. And he had, you know, people dressed up in costumes. And, you know, to me, that's a concert. It's when you can basically, you know, engage in every different element, you know, in what you're doing and to be able to deliver a quality product.
Absolutely. Okay, and then who are your favorite sports teams in your life?
I'm a New England guy. You know, I like the New England Patriots and, you know, the Boston Bruins and everything. You know, that's who I root for, you know. Again, not saying anything against other people who like other teams. That's just who I like. Patriots right now are doing absolutely horrible. They need a quarterback,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, I'm not going to jump ship. I'm still going to support them, you know. But, you know, whether at the same time for sports, I mean, for me, mostly it's football because that's just that's a game that's basically played once a week, you know, by each team. And it's
yeah.
easier to follow that than it is to follow baseball or hockey or, you know, or basketball or, you know, or anything like that, because those guys, I mean, heck, they're playing their sport 4 or 5 times a week, you know, and it's just hard for me to follow that, you know, but
yeah,
that's, you know, but that's basically what I follow is just football.
Okay. And then out there in your experience, who are the up and coming rising stars out there?
On an independent level or on a professional level?
Independent.
You know, I mean, again, you know, I'm going to basically, you know, give people that work for me directly because that's who I, you know, interact with the most. And that's who I have the most, you know, the most engagement with. And so it'd be people like, you know, Rob the Giant, Demas, you know, Zoe Sky, Diosa Quetzal, Kikio, you know, those guys, it's like they bring it at every single show and they give the fans a phenomenal show in whatever they're doing. You know, they bring their A game regardless of how tired they are, regardless of how sore they are, regardless of how hurt they are. They never translate that to the fans. And I think that that's phenomenal that they do that.
Absolutely. Okay. And then what do you got coming up, brother?
Let me tell you, I basically, my year is winding down. I have a few shows that I'm working with Texoma Pro the third week of December down in Texas and Oklahoma. And then after that, I'm done for this year. But come next year, you know, there's a lot of stuff I have. I mean, the Midget Wrestling Warriors are doing their This Is War tour for 2024. As well as we're going into our 10th year next year. And, you know, we have some shows at the Hollywood Casino Lawrenceburg. I'm just trying to remember them all real quick. New York. Pull up my tour schedule as we're talking. you know, Little Rock, Arkansas, Waters Meet, Michigan. Canandaigua, New York, Nedro, New York, you know, as well as, you know, other independent bookings that I have, whether it's, you know, with a Texoma Pro or, you know, other top name independents around the U.S. or Canada and everything. So that's where, you know, basically I would encourage people to go on to, you know, the Midget Wrestling Warriors website, which is midgetwarriors.com, and they can see our schedule on there. Or on Facebook, which is, you know, Midget Wrestling Warriors or Short Sleeve Samson. And they could be able to follow myself or follow, you know, the company. And they, you know, anytime we're in their area, I would encourage people to come out and to see an awesome show.
Yes, for sure. Okay, this next segment is called Word Association. I'll list the wrestler and you tell us the first thing that comes to mind or whatever you need to describe them.
Okay.
First one is Michelle Starr.
Oh, he's phenomenal. He's flamboyant, you know. He breaks the mold when it comes to wrestling, as well as, you know, outside the ring, he's a great friend, you know, and he cares about the people. He really, really does.
Tim Flowers.
He's a mouthpiece. You know, he's someone that I have learned over the years that does not take any smack from anybody, but if he likes you, he will be your biggest fan and supporter. He's got a huge heart, even though I'm sure he's going to deny that. but he's somebody who definitely cares about wrestling as a whole.
Yes. Okay, and this next guy, I haven't seen him around for a while, but the Little Show.
I haven't seen him for many years. But he's a hard worker, very hard worker.
Okay. What about Moondog Manson?
Yeah. Moondog Manson. I actually saw him a couple weeks ago when I was up in Vancouver. You know, he's hard working. He's a go-getter. He's someone who likes to put his body on the line and he'll have hardcore matches as well as regular matches, but at the same time, he is out there to entertain the fans.
And then another guy, almost the same type of guy, Kenny Lush.
well, again, like you said, same type of guy. So, I mean, it would be the same description as basically I gave from Moondog to Kenny. You know, I haven't seen him in, you know, several years, but, you know, I would definitely give him the same description.
What about Dave Republic?
I don't know who that is offhand.
Okay, he was part of ECCW back in the day.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then Tony Kazina.
Oh, I think I've worked with Tony a few times. You know, I would say, you know, he's a hard worker and he's dedicated to the business as well as to everything he does.
And then the last name is Five Most Wanted's Eric Smalls.
He's a go-getter, you know. He's got a good thing going on, and he's trying to get, you know, himself out there as well as his product out there. And he hustles, and he works very hard.
Man, he reminds me of you a lot, you know, where I love you guys' attitudes and just the whole nine yards.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But, no, he's a good guy. He is. He's definitely a good guy.
And then what a blessing it was to get to book you and him to come to Auburn, Washington, so I can have you in my Real School Army for a show. And it was such a blessing to get you in the NGW green room down at Cauliflower Alley. Then, of course, I was also blessed to film your seminar at Cauliflower Alley. And I just, man, I really appreciate you and all that you do for wrestling. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Believe me, I appreciate you as well. You know, I appreciate you having me down in Washington. I appreciate you, you know, coming out to the CACs and when we were all in Vegas and everything like that. So, you know, it's one of those things that iron needs to sharpen iron. And I feel that, you know, you do a great job as well as, you know, I learn stuff off of you as well. You know, it's not just one-sided, it's double-sided and everything. So I appreciate everything that you do as well.
Yes, thank you, brother. And then, hey, how else do people get a hold of you?
So, like I said, you know, basically they can check out our website, which is, you know, midgetwarriors.com. And there is a link on there, you know, email me. But they can also go to, you know, for social media for myself, Instagram and Facebook is Short Sleeve Samson. And what is it now? X, not Twitter anymore. It's X. At AWE Samson. And for the Warriors site, Instagram and Facebook, it's Midget Wrestling Warriors. And X, it's at Warrior Midget. So, you know, feel free, reach out. And, you know, I basically will answer, you know, anybody's stuff, whether it's, you know, public or whether it's personal. And I definitely appreciate the fans that I've had, you know, for the last 24 years. You know, it's been a long ride, but I'm in it to win it. So, you know, jump aboard and let's go for a phenomenal ride.
Sweet. Hey, is there anything else you'd like to plug or promote?
Like I said, I mean, my year right now is coming to an end, but, you know, I definitely love to, you know, plug the Midget Wrestling Warriors website, which is at warriormidgets.com. You know, we have some shows coming up for next year. I know, you know, some have already started sales. I would encourage everybody to come on out to them. And if they wanted any merchandise, I know this weekend basically I'm doing a sale promotion on merchandise where they order at least $100 worth of stuff on the Midget Wrestling Warriors merchandise site. They'll get a free hoodie. So, you know, basically, you know, like I said, check them out, you know, click the links. See what's going on, see what we're up to, see what we're doing, where we're going to be, where we are. And, you know, again, give your feedback for shows. And if there's any anybody who's interested in booking a show, they can also reach me on there as well.
Cool. Hey, and another thing I really like to see is your Christmas gigs. Do you have a Christmas gig lined up this year?
No, I don't. you know, I don't. I mean, I know before the pandemic, I was working for the Five Below stores, and you know, I was working as an elf for them, along with you know, a few other people, and then the pandemic hit, and basically they had, you know, cut all of our jobs as well as basically really doing anything at all, and they haven't started it up yet. So, you know. It's a different year. You know, it's been different since the pandemic has hit. And I know you and I have talked a few times since then.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's crazy because I feel we kind of live in a dual world where, you know, we're trying to do, you know, whatever our lives, you know, we're trying to run them and control them and, you know, see them succeed and prosper. But at the same time, there's also a you know, a real pandemic out there. And I feel that some people are scared or, you know, hesitant and, you know, they don't know what to do. So, but, you know, let's, you know, everybody just go out there and continue to do what you love. I mean, that's really what this whole world's about. That's really what we're all about is, you know, doing what we love, support the people that, you know, you love to support, whether it's, you know, personally or professionally. And, you know, while we're at the same time, be careful, you know, because we also want to be able to go home to our families and to our, you know, spouses and everything at the end of the night and, you know, go on the next day without any hesitation or, you know, anything holding us back.
Yes, for sure. Man, brother, I'm so thankful for you, and thank you for your time. I know you're a busy man. And, man, I wish you all the luck in the world. We're so grateful for you, and thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, Coach Mike. And I hope you do well on your radio show. I'm excited to see this was episode 69.
Yes.
So.
And then,
no,
of
that's
course,
great.
I'm still part of Turnbuckle Turmoil with Sign Guy. We've had you on there in the past. Man, they're going 13 years and 1,900 shows now. So I'm still part
awesome.
Of that, too. Goodness, yes.
That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal.
Yes.
Well, continue to do what you do and to, you know, educate as well as entertain us. And, you know, I hope everybody continues to be receptive and receive everything that you're doing.
Thanks so much, brother. All right, everybody, there he is, Short Sleeve Samson. Get out there and
take
check
care,
out
guys.
His midget. You're welcome, man. Check out his Midget Wrestling Warriors tour next year. And anywhere you can see him, man, it's definitely worth the price of admission. He is alone, I can tell you right now. And then, of course, we got our Thanksgiving weekend I'm very grateful for. We got a nice day here in Puyallup, Washington. We got the Huskies versus the Cougars today. The Seahawks lost the other day at Thanksgiving. We're now 6-5. It's not looking very good for the Seahawks. Oh, my goodness. I'm hopefully Geno can turn it around. And then the Mariners, they're not looking very good either. They got rid of Geno Soares, and we got back two minor league players for him. And the management admitted that they're only interested in winning 54% of their games. That really put a wedge in the fans. And so we're going to see what happens the rest of this offseason. Hopefully they can pick it up, because right now things aren't looking good for the Mariners. But anyway, you guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most. Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. And the Real School Army. And then, of course, the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast every Saturday at noon Pacific. Next Saturday, I got Cosmo Williams. And then on the 9th, I got the guys from Seattle Sports Union back. And then on the 30th of December, I've got Sam Sims for a year-end special. So we're looking forward to that. And then don't forget to check me out on Turnbuckle Turmoil every Sunday at noon Pacific with Sign Guy. Yes, we want to thank you guys so much. We appreciate everything you guys do, all your support, feedback, input, love. We appreciate it so much. And I want to thank Turnbuckle Turmoil and Sign Guy, JD, and QT for creating it. And for all you fans, we love you so much. And here is Joe Love and the Never Word with Coach Mike Jones Show Walk-On Song.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose. A diagnose, you feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.